How many of you this morning, here as well as those that are hearing us in basically around the world, we know as far as the Philippines, but how many of you here or how many of you listening, if the Lord awakened you to a truth concerning your life and he gave you an answer today, how many of you would respond to that just by an uplifted hand? I would respond, if God gave me an answer today to things in my life, and a surefire answer, and I appreciate that because that's what's going to happen. I know that. Let's get started. I don't think we're taping today, but we've got this. But let's get started. Turn with me in your Bible to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to say this morning that I want to speak on the peace of Yahweh. But more importantly, what are we supposed to do with it? God's put out the peace. Now, what do we do with that? But before we get into to doing that and getting the message set into that, you know, a big question that a lot of people wrestle with is, how do we receive it? How do we get peace from God? So I want to tell you very quickly, this is just three very quick references that will help you if you want to get into this concept a little later, and there's many more. I'm just giving these three. But how do we get the peace of God? According to Isaiah, Isaiah says that we receive peace from God if our mind is stayed and focused upon him. That's how we get it. Now notice that. God said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I will keep you in perfect peace. And he goes on, he says, because you trust me. And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, for the Lord is your everlasting strength. Paul told the church of Philippi how to get this peace. He said, be anxious for nothing in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And in verse 7, God said, and the peace of God, which goes beyond human comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds, which means your spirit being and your physical being in Christ Jesus. But another wonderful passage that you can apply very quickly if you comprehend or get it. There ain't nothing to comprehend it. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, how many of you have been justified by faith in the blood? Justified by faith, Paul said, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Three ways right there. And that's just the beginning. It's not an exhaustive list. But I wanted to give you something just to begin with, those three passages. But this morning we want to look at the thought of allowing or letting peace be in control of your life. Let God's peace be in control. I had some other thoughts that I was going to deal with. I didn't know which way to call it. I was going to call it, allow peace to rule in your spirit. Another way I was going to entitle it was, permit peace to be the shot caller in your life. Does everybody know what a shot caller is? Just very quickly. A shot caller, use this illustration. We're all familiar with the gangs in the cities and countries, the various gangs around the United States. Well, the leader of that gang, whoever it may be, is called the shot caller. They make a decision on what's done, when it's done, how it's done, or whatever. They call the shots for everybody. However, as the leader, at times they may designate to, just to use the phrase, one of their lieutenants, they may give that lieutenant the right to be the shot caller over a certain place or a certain area at that certain time. Now, in our lives, God is the shot caller. But at times, he designates to us the ability to call the shot. And that's what Colossians 3 is telling us. That God has called the shot, And now he's designated to us to deal with the shock. Philippians chapter 3, 1 verse 15. Okay. Notice the wording. And let the peace of God, which tells me immediately I've got to do something here. It's not just going to happen. I've got to permit it. So what do I got to permit? Let the peace of God rule in your heart or in your spirit being. Now notice this. To which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, I didn't give this to him, but I want to just give part of it. Verse 16 starts out saying, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Glory to God. I want to start with a couple questions this morning. Have you ever experienced one of those days when there was so much confusion whirling around in your mind and whirling around in your head that you came to a place during that time that you just felt like stopping or standing and screaming, stop it? You ever been like that? Mind's all messed up, twisted, in desperate need of assistance. And we cry, stop this. Another question. Do you personally recognize moments or times when your emotions try to throw you into an emotional tizzy and rob you of your peace and joy in Christ Jesus? Anybody ever have them days? Those experiences. Now the truth is this. Periodically, and from time to time, everyone, nobody's exempt. But everyone has experienced that type of day. And if you're like Pastor was, the emphasis was, when I was much younger as a believer, even much younger as a minister, if you're like Pastor was and you have one of those kind of days, perhaps your temptation, catch that word, your temptation, not your activity, but you're tempted to get in the flesh. And you act in react in an ugly and ungodly way. Maybe that's what happens to you. It used to happen to me until I got a grip on it. Or perhaps when you have them days, you become depressed. And you just go to bed and you lay down and you try to forget all about it. However, saints, you know that neither one of those choices is proper, and neither one of those decisions will do absolutely anything. Let me say it this way. Either one of those decisions will do absolutely nothing to help you through that situation that you're dealing with or the problems that you're facing. Neither one of them will do nothing. I want to issue you a challenge this morning. That is this. When you have those days or those times, rather than throwing in the towel and giving way to these emotions that desire to get the best of you, why not stop right now, sitting here or following through the internet? Stop right now and make a conscious decision that you are going to allow the Word of God to rule in your heart, in your spirit. When I say let the word of God rule, I'm speaking about God's supernatural peace dominating and governing absolutely every emotion and every situation that comes before you or confronts you. Make that decision. And that's why I asked a moment ago, if God gives you the answer, would you respond to the answer? And I want you to know, my blessed friends, if you refuse to make this decision to let the peace of God rule your spirit, man, if you refuse to make that decision and follow through with it, fear, insecurity, doubt, worry, and an entire host of other negative emotions will rise up from within you and attempt to take control of your life. I know for a fact all of us, maybe except for the youngest of people here, at least one night, we spent sleepless because we were worried about something coming up. Or we was afraid of something that took place and we didn't know what the results would be. We lost sleep over these things. Well, that's what happens to us if we don't choose to do what God's word says. And believe me, if we refuse it, believe me when I say, there is no worse of a roller coaster ride than one where you are being knocked all over the place by emotions that are out of control. Anybody like the roller coasters? Yeah, I used to. I still do, but I've learned a trick about them. That's why I like them. But I don't like the old times where we sat on top of the tracks. For whatever reason, I like the ones where you hang in the air. I feel like I got a better chance if something happens, if I'm dangling, than if that sucker goes off key up top. Can I say that sucker? Well, I guess I can. I just said it. Yeah, I guess I can pronounce it. I didn't get with my teaching staff before I said that. But listen, church. Instead of allowing all that to take place, why not permit the glorious peace of Yahweh that Paul speaks about over in Colossians 3? Why not allow that to rule in your heart or in your spirit? Now watch what Paul says here. This verse says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now catch this. Because I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many times I've read this passage of Scripture in 44 years. It's been a lot. And for whatever reason, I never once caught what I caught yesterday afternoon reading this verse of Scripture. And that's what Paul says after. It says, let the peace of God rule in... Let the peace of God rule into your hearts, to which you are also called. You want to know what God's calling is for your life? Let his peace dominate your heart. I never caught that for whatever reason. That God has called us as one body to live in this peace. And then he said, and be thankful. But the key word is rule. And I believe I've taught on this word several times in the church. So I'm not going to get deep into this. But just very basically get into this. The word rule comes to you and I from a Greek word, as best as I can figure, it's pronounced bravivo. And it's a word that was used in ancient times to describe or to identify the umpires or the referees who had the responsibility to moderate the athletic games that were taking place in that time. We all know what umpires do. We know what referees do. Do we not? What's an umpire do? Call the shots. Whatever he calls, that's it. What's a referee do? Calls the shots. If he says this is it, that's it. And as I told you, Yahweh is the shot caller. And he's calling us to this glorious lifestyle. Because that's how Paul uses the word. He uses it to inform us that the peace of God can serve as an umpire in our hearts. It can serve as a referee over our minds. Or the peace of God can be the shot caller in our emotions. It's up to us. Remember the beginning of that verse. Let the peace. Allow the peace. Permit the peace. So I want to tell you this morning that any time detrimental emotions attempt to exert control over you and throw you into an emotional frenzy, at that time we can stop it. We can stop that from happening. We don't have to have a confused mind. We don't have to have a messed up mind. We don't have to live with emotional frenzies or tizzies. Tizzy, is that the word? I think we used that back in the mountains. We can stop it all from happening by making the choice to permit God's peace to rise up from deep inside of us, deep down from our spirit being, and serve as an umpire. To serve as the shot caller, to moderate our emotions. I don't know about you, this excites me. It excites me, and I've realized I've got some extra time now this morning. I watched a program the other day. I want to see the next part of it and see what they're going to do. But it's archaeologists that have got together and apparently they were going out in this one program. This guy goes out to prove or disprove things from history. This one program, he was going out to prove or disprove the story of Moses and the book of Exodus. And I can't tell you the whole story, but it went like this. Even after climbing Mount Sinai, this man could not find any evidence that Moses even existed. None. He also could not find out any evidence, and they say that the Egyptians of that time were, you know, they were major note takers, they kept records of everything. The only thing they would change is if they lost the war, they would still celebrate like they won. And they claimed that in all that, there's no Moses. And this expedition got to a place. And the team from America was off working in one of the caverns. and a person from the homeland was out a little ways away and started screaming for the team. The team comes and they're standing before, we would call it a signpost. They called it a note post, where it was like the news. They would write things on these stones. Now, mind you, they've got no evidence of Moses in existence, ever. They also have absolutely no evidence of Israel being held captive there for 400 years. They said there's not one mention in all of history that Israel was enslaved, that they built the pyramids. They said not one Hebrew worked on a pyramid. According to history. According to history. And then this event takes place. And this guy gets the American expedition to the signpost. And he's reading the Greek writings. And everybody's standing there like, well, so what? And then he reads a statement. I don't know what the statement was. I just caught the one word, and that's all I needed. Oh, yeah, I remember that one. There was a statement about an individual who grew up in the court of Pharaoh, whose name on this post was Apoel. Apoel. A-P-O-E-L. The American expeditioner stood there and said, so what's that mean? And the guy said, this is telling us about an individual that grew up in the house of Pharaoh, in the courts of Pharaoh, sat at dinner with Pharaoh, lived in Pharaoh's presence, and his name is not Egyptian at all, but it's a Hebrew name. And this guy was there about the time that history records Moses was there. That's exciting. I love to see history prove the scientists and the other historians wrong. I love it. You got another one out trying to prove or disprove Christ. Not his presence, but all the other stuff. But anyway, I would say all that to say that this is the kind of stuff that excites me. That God sets us up to allow us, as we so choose, to let his peace control my life rather than my problems, my disturbances, and my conditions controlling my life. But I will tell you this. When our response is to accept the word, when our response is to respond to the word, we will be kept under the control of that divine peace as it rules our hearts. Listen, when we let this divine umpire called peace, when we allow that to happen, here's what it is. I make this decision today. You can do it while you're sitting. I make this decision right now that I'm going to start letting God's peace call the shots. Umpire, referee, I'm going to choose that decision today. And when that umpire called peace steps into the game, then suddenly it begins to call the shots and to make the decisions instead of anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, depression, or again any other of the negative emotions. When we choose to obey Colossians 3:15, then peace begins to call the shots. Where did Paul say, be not anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens? Verse 7 says, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Isaiah said, if you keep your mind stayed on me, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Paul told the church in Rome, therefore, we have been justified by faith. And because of that, we have peace with God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Listen, more than spiritual gifts, more than a physical mindset, God's telling us how to live life the way he designed it to be lived. This passage could actually translate in several ways, but let me share them with you. 3:15 could be translated, let the peace of God call the shots in your life. If you've been married any length of time, you've had arguments. What my wife and I call intense moments of fellowship. You've had that. And here's what happens. You get started. One of you come home after a bad day. The other one ain't got nothing to do with it. But because you're twisted and in an emotional frenzy, you jump on them. What do? They jump on you. And then we have this blown out war taking place. My wife and I, when we were younger and we would have these intense moments of fellowship, one of us, usually me, but one of us would depart from the room, sometimes from the house. I'd just go out and walk the block, walk around the street, until we calmed down, until peace had settled over us. Then we'd get back together. Save a lot of aggregation if you practice this. Let peace, he said, call the shots. This could also read, let the peace of God be the umpire in your life and actions. A third way this could be translated, let the peace of God act as referee in your emotions and in your decisions. All that can come. All them translations stem because of one word, rule. Now I want to come to a close, but it's going to, you might remember the old days I would say, I'm descending. You know, like an airplane coming in for a landing. Well, sometimes that airplane might take a 2 or 3 minutes to get there. Sometimes it has to keep circling around the airport. And it could take you 45 minutes to get down, although the pilot said, we're approaching our descent. I'm descending. So it may take me 45 minutes to get there. No, I'm not playing. But I do want to close with more than a statement. I got 7 minutes before I hit my comfortable time. But even though it's true that everyone experiences hard days and difficult weeks, you do not have to surrender to those emotions that try to steal your joy, disturb your relationships, and rob you of your victory, which is in Yeshua Messiah. So in the future, when you feel overwhelmed by problems or emotions that are hitting you from every direction, just pause for a moment and deliberately set your heart and mind on Yeshua in the Word of God. As you practice this, the wonderful, dominating, conquering, glorious, supernatural peace of Yahweh will rise up from within your spirit being and take control of what's going on. Now, what steps? What steps can we take to quiet ourselves down when we're in this emotional frizzy and we're all messed up? What can we do quickly to quiet ourselves and get focused on God's word and allow his peace to rise up and referee whatever's going on inside our heart, mind, and emotions? What steps can we take? Very quickly, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. You practice that, and you get verse 7. He said, and the peace of God, which goes through beyond human comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Because I practice verse 6, I get verse 7. Now, if I participate in Philippians 4:8, where Paul says, think on these things. If I participate in that verse, I maintain verse 7. That's how I do it. I practice verse 6, I get verse 7. I participate in verse 8, I maintain verse 7. Either way, the peace is dominating in my situations. And never forget, write it down, whatever, but never forget what I'm about to say. And you need to go to this verse, and you need to eat it. The psalmist David recorded these words. In Psalm 61, verse 2, he said, from the end of the earth, I will cry out to you, speaking of God. From the end of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed. Does anybody know what the psalmist says after that? Lead me to the rock, glory to God, that is higher than I. Now listen to the Hebrew rendering of this verse. This comes straight from the Tehillim, which is a serious collection of all the Psalms and notes from all kind of theologians from Israel. Listen to how these people whose language it is, this is how they word it. When my heart is drained, when my heart, my spirit, my mind is exhausted. When my heart is shrouded in misery and suffering. It says, lead me, O Yahweh. Lead me to the rock. That is higher than I. I want you to rise with me this morning, if you would. Shoot, I was worrying about not making it to the end. You guys owe me time today. I want you to do me a favor, those present, even those at home. Just for a quick moment, bow your head and close your eyes. And I asked you in the very beginning this morning that if God gave you an answer, would you respond to that answer? Now let me ask you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, how many people feel that they received an answer from God to help them going on in the future as a result of the troubled mindsets? Anyone else? Don't be embarrassed. I've been practicing this for weeks. To make this decision, God's peace is going to rule in my life. So I ask that one last question. How many, if any, are prepared to make a decision? I'm going to do everything I can to yield to Colossians 3:15 and allow the peace of God to rule in my heart. I'm ready to make that decision this morning. Now, if you just okay, Lord, thank you. Those that raised their hands, and perhaps others, who may change their mind. Oh, you can open your eyes, you know. Here's what I want you to do. Because this is personal between you and God. So I'm going to pray a general prayer, as always. And I'm going to depart the sanctuary and release the service, as always. But those that are saying, or even now deciding, I'm going to respond to the word. I'm going to let, remember verse 16, I'm going to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom, meaning I'm going to choose the word over the worry. I'm going to experience the peace over the problems. When I exit, I want you to come to this altar. Everything else will be off. I want you to lay that troubled mindset or whatever it is, just lay that on the altar. You don't have to stay there. Just lay it there. Take a few seconds at least to cement your decision by telling God, this is what I'm going to do, and I need your help. Okay? Everybody got that? That's all it's going to be. Father, in the blessed, wonderful name of Yeshua Messiah, I thank you for your word this morning, Lord. More importantly, I thank you that you enabled me to get this word out fully without harassment from the gates of hell and without nervousness concerning time. I thank you, Lord, that there are those that this word is working a work right now in them. And it's going to work that work if they allow it. And this one decision today that we make, this one awakening of our conscience that we make today, may be the very decision that leads us to that place that you will enable us to finish or to complete that which you've called us for. And Father, I just pray this morning you allow this word to saturate each and every heart. And for those right now, Lord, that are not necessarily in that place in their experience that they need to respond at this level, I just pray that you will allow this word to stay in them so that when those times come, they'll know what to do. And for those that approach you this morning, Lord, and they lay their situations on the altar, more importantly, they lay themselves on your altar. Lord, help them to understand once that decision is made, they become holy. For whatever touches the altar becomes sanctified to our God. And I pray that will take place in Christ's name. And now I pray that the grace and peace of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will rest upon each of us as we depart the sanctuary, but never your presence, and bring us back at the next appointed time in Christ's name. Amen. Bear in mind, stay in the word, it'll keep you from worry. And if you so desire, just make your deposits at the altar and your withdrawals of peace.